This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
9:46, Tuesday, the 9th of August. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, the recent headlines have been dominated by revelations from the Public Accounts Committee on the Littoral Combat Ship Project. So for some background, let's call it the LCS project, was a $9 billion contract to procure six LCS ships, which was initiated back in 2011. The Navy should have received five of these ships by August this year. However, despite being $6 billion being spent, not a single ship has been completed.
The 250-page report was compiled following nine proceedings conducted regarding this issue between November 18, 2020 and March 8 this year. This issue cropped up following findings made by the National Audit Department, which were reported in the 2019 AG's report. So what does the PAC report tell us about the extent of this issue and what can be done about it?
So for more on this, we have on the line with us Wong Kar-wah, chairman of the PAC, and of course, he's also member of parliament for Ipoh Timor. Good morning, Kar-wah. Let's start off with this PAC's very detailed laundry list of questionable decisions and financial improprieties regarding these LCS. What are those that you would like to highlight?
Good morning, everyone. So our PAC report was tabled last Thursday, on the 4th of August, 2022. And as everyone knows, it has gained a lot of traction due to the issue raised, due to the findings made by the PAC. But of course, to me, the most questionable decision, number one, is definitely the choice of the design of the ship, which is between Sigma from the Dutch and Govin from the French. So as you have read the report, the Navy actually wanted Sigma, and the then Defense Minister, Zahid Hamidi, has agreed to Sigma. But just because of one letter from the contractor, BNS, the government has changed its mind within 3 days and went it for Govin. And we also have reported that despite the objection from the Navy, particularly from the then Navy chief for the use of Govin, the government has proceeded to use the design for Govin. So that is the one very big issue in front of us. I just put it in a very simple term. If today I wanted to renovate my house, I want it to be in a Western style, and it turns out that the contractor tells me that we need to use a Bali style, and I have to accept. That is something not acceptable, and something is very wrong in the process. As pointed out by the former Navy chief, something is gravely wrong. To me, in this project, it seems that everything has gone wrong.
Okay.
That is one. So, of course, perhaps I, number two, another decision by the government then was, you know, in all the projects, there were cappings to the budget. And in this case, the capping by EPU was $9 billion back in 2011. And because of that, the contractor has told the government, look, $9 billion is not enough for us. And we have to take out one of the segments that is called Integrated Logistics Support, ILS in short. And that segment, after taking out, the whole budget is kept at, was kept at $9 billion. ILS at that particular time, the contractor told the government, look, we have taken this out at the cost of, with the cost of $121 million taken out. But soon after the agreement was signed, again, the government or MINDEF has signed another supplemental agreement with the BNS, another side agreement with BNS, whereby this ILS integrated logistic support system was again being put into the project. And this round, not at the cost of $131 million, but at the cost of $600 million, which is like fourfold of the original price. Mm. So there are the two issues perhaps I can raise, but of course, there are some other big, some other important issues raised in the report, but I think due to time constraint, yes.
Okay, so let's focus on these two. Choice of design and capping of the budget. You say it's the government. Who in government is responsible? Because in the first example, you say choice of design, Navy agreed to the original. Zahid Hamidi, then the defense minister, agreed to to the original. Then there was a letter. Who in government U-turned the decision? Who in government is the responsible party here?
Yeah, definitely in the choice of the design of the ship. From the handset, you all can see clearly well. On the 8th of July 2011, BNS had written to the minister, the then minister, that is Zahid Hamidi, to request for the change of design to Govind. And on the 11th of July 2011, Zahid Hamidi has agreed to the change. And from there, the Navy has forwarded at least 10 different letter of protest, two to the Prime Minister, the rest to the Defense Minister, to the KSU, KSB, and so on. But none of the letter have got any fruitful result for the Navy. So the decision was made by the then Menhan, the then Menteri Pertahanan, by the name of Zahid Hamidi.
Okay, and then, let's bring this conversation a little bit forward to 2019, because that was the first time the AG highlighted this report. To the extent of your knowledge, was anything done to address the issue even then?
Okay, in the issue was highlighted in the AG reports in 2019, Series 1, if not mistaken, and under the name of Bengurusan contract. There is a management of the contract. You know, AG reports, they have many different segments. Sometimes they talk about the performance of the contract. Sometimes they talk about the performance of the ministry or the kewangan of the ministry or something like that. So they went into this subject in a very small segment as to the Bengurusan contract, as to the contract was actually how the contract was managed, how the contract was supervised and so on. And the report was actually tabled in late 2020. Although the report is 2019 report, is normally tabled a year later, which is in November, if not mistaken, in October or November 2020. And further to that, the AG has briefed the PAC about this issue. And of course, PAC, after picking up the small segment of the LCS project, as reported in the AG report, we have decided to go into another larger report by the name of Laporan Jabatan Kuasa Siasatan by Tan Sri Amri Buang. This committee, Jabatan Kuasa Siasatan, was actually formed in 2018 after the general election to investigate some of the previous government contracts, some of the previous government contracts. More than 10 issues have been investigated by Tan Sri Amri Buang, and LCS is actually one of the issues. And that was from where the PAC has decided to go deep into LCS project. And our first proceeding, if I remember correctly, we started it sometime in November or December 2020.
Okay.
And it has took like 2 long years for the PAC to complete and table this report on this very complicated issue.
Yeah, but at the same time, right, the PAC report, why was it not tabled in March to allow for parliamentary debate and perhaps even public scrutiny?
Yeah, of course, in every report, we try to table it as soon as possible. But as you all know, our last proceedings was on the 8th of March this year. 8th of March this year. And they are processed after the calling of all the witnesses. The PAC need to sit down to discuss whether we need to call further witnesses. That is number one. Number two, all the handsets have to be sent to the witnesses for their confirmation, for their amendment, if there is any, and that takes time. And of course, if you look at the whole report, the report itself is like 250 pages altogether.
Okay.
And the handset itself is more than 500 pages.
Kawo,
let me finish. It also takes a PAC secretary time to compile everything, to rearrange everything, to put in a draft report. And the PAC has actually spent a long time in going line to line of the draft report to ensure that all the facts are figures are properly and correctly, accurately presented.
Would you say you have the full picture though? Because I understand that there are several procurement projects that were probed by the high-level committee headed by the former AG Tan Sri Abrin Wang. Have all of them been brought to your attention at the PAC level?
We have called Tan Sri Abrin Wang to brief us on a few issues. Of course, more than 10 issues have been taken up by Tan Sri Abrin Wang. We wouldn't be able to go in each and every one of the issues. But I can point out some of the issues that we have got the briefing and we have already started and taken up. Just like the issue of AES, we have tabled our report back in November last year, 2021. That involved some of bailout by LTAT on the two companies instructed by the then government in 2014 at the sum of 555 million.
Right.
You all can check the PAC website on the AES report. We have also some other reports like the One Best Arinet report during the time where Tan Sri Muhyiddin was the education minister. And we have another issues that we are going to complete our report as well. The land swap, Pertukaran Tanah, the land swap by Ministry of Defense as well. You know, prior to 2018, there were some accusations or there were some findings that the then government was trying to shift, to build some empty army camp for them to shift the armies and so on. So these are the few issues that we have taken up from Tan Sri Abrin Wang's report.
Okay, so milk has been spilled on so many fronts here. The bigger question here is, how do we avoid this from happening again? In this specific case here, how do we avoid the change in decision between 8th of July and 11th of July? How do you stop these U-turns from taking place? Because it seems like there was a due process done. All was good all the way up to 8th of July. Then there was a sudden U-turn, right? How do you avoid these things from happening again in the future?
Of course, number one, the PAC roles is we go in to investigate. We go in to get the facts and figures and present our findings to the people. And eventually, I will still believe if the government officers, if the ministers knows that bodies like PAC is watching them and the issue is actually hot in the public debates and public awareness is raised on all the decision-making process, all the procurement process by the government, I believe this type of issues will be reduced from days to days and the governance, the process in the governments will become better one day.
Okay, but wouldn't the governance process be even more enhanced if people are actually brought to task for these kind of incidences?
Yeah, definitely. And one of the questions always asked to me is whether PAC can actually prosecute anyone. And of course, as you all know, PAC's power doesn't involve any prosecution power. The prosecution power is actually with the enforcement agencies. That is either with the police or either with, most importantly, with the MSCC. And in one of our recommendations in our PAC report, we did actually tells MSCC, look, please expedite your investigation. Look, please expedite your prosecution on the culprit, on the person that are responsible for the for the whole fiasco. And of course, now the ball is in the courts of MSCC. We have heard that the MSCC commissioner has said that they already almost completed the report. They are going to announce their status soon and they are going to charge somebody soon. But again, we have only heard that. We have yet to see any concrete actions by MSCC. So the PAC wanted MSCC to act fast because these sort of things, we cannot delay. We must bring those people who are responsible to the Court of Justice for the benefit of the nation.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Wong Kar-wo, Chairman of the PAC and Member of Parliament for Ipoh Timor. And in this conversation on the reality check that we do really need to bring those who are guilty to task, right, with regards to this misappropriation of funds to the tune of, what, 6 billion so far?
Yes, and I think, you know, this is one of many projects that I think have been, you know, raised about mismanagement of funds. And it's why we talk about government coffers, and it's why there's a frustration about, you know, all these subsidies and such. But in the end, if you can plug all these leakages, you can really save a lot of money, you know, in that point. I think that's the point I think many in opposition are pushing for, right? How do you drive more efficient spend of government money so that we can actually reallocate funds to the broader population and public?
I mean, the government is the biggest contractor. I mean, it's the biggest procurement, hands out something to the tune of 70 billion ringgit every year in terms of projects. We really need to have transparency, a better procurement policy, and hopefully some lessons will be learned from this LCS debacle. Up next, The Breakfast Grill, where Keith Kam speaks to the general manager of TVB International. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.